We are live everyone, now.
Everyone got on the toilet? Everyone's ready to go?
Everyone's ready to go? We're all here? Good. Well, what a way to start. We're really nailing our start to the Sportscast Safari podcast. Welcome, everybody. I'm Andrew Collins, co-editor of Sportscast Safari magazine. We've got Luke Jackson, the other co-editor, and we are joined this week by Daniel Kajadi of Benzin Cafe Sydney. Daniel,
hey guys, welcome. How are you guys? Thank you. Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. How's life in sunny Sydney? Is it sunny?
It's sunny at the moment. Yeah, no, it's been good. Obviously, there's a few ups and downs with recent events, but can't complain. We're not the worst one over there.
Once again, I feel like every week we apologize to our Melbourne listeners and fans. Sorry, guys. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. So,
what's been happening? You got a box.
Mate, look, I have my issues of Sportscar Safari. I've seen issue 3. They've arrived yesterday. I've seen them for the first time. As you can very well imagine, trying to get goods shipped around the world at the moment is not easy. And as we learned, it turns out that when you walk into Australia Post and you pay the extra money for express international air freight, it's not actually that express.
Who did that?
I thought you did.
Nah, that was normal price, dude.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that was not express. That was like normal air freight. It's supposed to be 6 days, but I think it spent 5 or 6 days sitting in Melbourne. So waiting for a plane.
Waiting for a plane. Okay,
yeah, waiting for a plane, which is understandable. There's not as many flights and so on. Yeah, it's a good experience.
But as you can tell, Sportscar Safari Issue 3 has arrived in the UK. I'm wearing our new Rota Weights jumpers made by Luke in Adelaide, handmade. So they have arrived. And I guess a quick thing to anyone in the UK that's watching this, obviously we have normally the international shipping rate is kind of, you know, what it is. But I've got a small supply. So if you are listening to the podcast tonight and you do want one, drop us a quick message and we'll arrange to get you one with some local postage to save a little bit of money. But anyway, so yeah, Luke, what's been happening?
Not much. No, day job life has been stuck in training all week. So that's been pretty full on and pretty mind absorbing. I've been working on a new sticker, which has been kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Did a little bit of work on my simulator setup, which has been fun too. So some more practicing. Did some aluminium welding for the first time with my new welder the other day, which was good.
How did that go? Did you just blow holes in it?
No.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is that your day job?
What?
Just building simulators.
No.
Oh no.
that's my other job. That's just learning how to fabricate stuff. No, day job's IT engineering. So hence software training this week, which has been fun. But as I'm sure you are, Daniel, by the sounds of it as well. You have 400 jobs, and so one of mine at the moment is doing the test run of new stickers.
Mad.
So that's our hashtag the Road Awaits, which is cool. So done in a cool little scripty font.
Looks surprisingly like another automotive website that's had a bit of a fall from grace lately. Or is that just me? No?
This is a bit more curly.
Just a little bit more.
Well, you know, I guess it's one of those things where you go, if people are removing said stickers, but kind of like the design, then this would be a good fit to replace.
You gotta cover the paint fade that it had before.
Yeah.
It replaces it exactly. Yeah, for sure. Luke just did a font finder.
Yeah, you can actually just grab the image, put it on the font on the website. Yeah. It finds the font for you. Surprisingly, it wasn't Comic Sans, which was good.
Amazing. So so you can
if you ever see Comic Sans anywhere, just burn it.
Just burn it.
Burn whatever it is.
So yeah.
Every designer's nightmare. Ha.
Exactly. So yeah, not saying you shouldn't still drive tastefully, but if you would like to be excited about the road that awaits, you can. So
I'm just testing for this week or so of those, and then we should have them up in the store soon for people to buy.
Fantastic. I've got my SCS stickers too, which are going to be going onto the Boxster imminently, which will be good. So we'll get some photos. The shit. shit Boxster. That's so, better. Yeah. I'm sorry, girl. You're not shit. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I'm what's been happening with that?
And I'm falling hard for it. I washed it the other night. I went out with a beer and it was the evening, you know, it's summertime. So we've got, you know, it's still light at 9 p.m. and went out there with a beer in the warm summer evening and gave it a loving wash. And really falling for it. So it's good. We're pretty much ready, actually. I took it for a clandestine little run across to the next village, and it's all going well. Got it booked in tomorrow in Quest Brothers Classic Cars in St. Ives. They're going to help me to sort the brake line situation out, which hopefully won't be too bad. I've speculatively booked an MOT inspection for tomorrow afternoon, which, if everything goes well tomorrow morning, get it through the inspection, get the roadworthy done on it, and then we start driving it and see what falls off. We've also, as we said last week, we've also spent more time planning the first road trip in the car. So we've pretty much in the stages of booking. I think we're gonna buzz it down to Portofino in Italy in the end. I think we were planning originally a bit of a tour through Europe, like quite an extensive tour. I had these grand ideas. I wanted to drive a lap of the Nürburgring, and then I wanted to take it to the Porsche Museum, and I wanted to do all this sort of stuff. And and then we were kind of thinking that actually, you know what, I think still going to Europe in a car at the moment is quite a safe thing to do, because we worked out that, you know, the Eurotunnel is completely contactless. You can buy fuel contactless. Like, we could literally get to our Airbnb without coming into contact with another person, so like that's quite a responsible way of doing it. But if you're doing a bit of a tour around and different hotels every night and, you know, different restaurants, then it probably starts to get a bit shaky. So I think we're just gonna just
increases that risk factor, right?
Yeah, so we're kind of thinking that if we've booked an Airbnb on the coast, we're just gonna kind of buzz down there in a relatively sort of straight way and just kind of hole up down there in the warmth for a week or so and then buzz back. So as I was sort of saying, that I've decided that I'm gonna claim victory in Portofino. So if we make it to Portofino in the car, that's when I'm claiming victory. Anything post that is a bonus. So that's what's happening cool. with the Boxster. So it's exciting times. So, but I guess enough about us. Daniel, do you want to give us a bit of a rundown? We met you a couple of months ago. You have opened a cafe in Sydney and Dural called Benzin Cafe, Automotive Thing Cafe, and very kindly stocking issue 3 of Sports Car Safari. Right. Tell us, what is it? How did you come to be involved?
Well, Benzin Cafe is as you said, it's an automotive themed cafe. I mean, cars, bikes, gentleman culture all around, I guess, up in Dural. I'm local to that area, but it's not just kind of for the car people. It's for everyone, it's for locals. We still do good food, good coffee. But I guess in a way, it's like the people that run the cafe is also petrol heads. You know, you can come to the place, talk to me or any of my partners or the managers, and we can talk about cars. We will share kind of like our passions and our culture as well. So it's a little bit different in that sense. But yes, we're an automotive themed cafe. And the reason why it exists at the moment is because I used to travel a lot, and everywhere I go, there'll be a car themed cafe or a bike themed cafe that I know I want to visit the moment I land into that city. Australia kind of almost never had one.
Yeah.
There was a couple in Melbourne popped up, you know, but it never had that vibe for me.
They're always attached to something, right? It was like you got to go to Dutton's or you got to go to Classic Throttle Shop or something. And then the experience isn't centered around the coffee and the food. That's just the nice. That's like a. Do you want fries with that of the dealership? I guess so.
And it was cool to do that. Like, or like people kind of, I guess, went on board with the theme of cars because they know that there's a market for it. But like the people working in it and the people that own it, not necessarily in the community or in the circle. So it's kind of had a disconnect in that sense. I just remember going to like Bali or Tokyo, knowing that I want to go to. I never know how to say it. Deus Deuce Cafe. Right? I've always wanted, that's my first stop, right? Because I want to experience what they created in that city. That's what I mean. Like I went to London. Now I forgot the cafe name. They always hold like the Ace Cafe.
Right? Yep.
I wanted to go there. I want to take a train out. It's a bit further away, but that's fine. I want to experience the meat. I want to experience the culture. So I guess that's why Benzin exists, because we wanted to create that culture for ourselves, because that's what we felt was missing. Originally, we didn't want to do it because we just thought like, oh, you know, locals, I mean, like car community get a bad rep in Sydney for sure.
Western Sydney.
Current affairs, but anyway, just drop it in there. We didn't want to do it because we didn't know how the locals would take it. And then we bounced around different locations that we were looking at until we got to the last one, and it was honestly a very last minute decision that we went, you know, if we're going to do something, let's do something we like. Let's not do something for other people, let's do something for ourselves. And I guess that's when Benzin was kind of born.
That's cool. It's funny you say about the destination, because we kind of covered it in our first issue of Sportscar Safari, but there's a place in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh City in Saigon, called Biker Shield. And it was the same sort of thing that I'd never heard of it, but my our mate Laurie, who's moved to there and to Vietnam, and he started a Ducati workshop there. And as soon as he sort of heard we were coming, we were going to catch up, and he's like, oh, mate, you've got to go to Biker Shield. Like, we've got to go there. And it's this kind of motorbike, car-themed sort of bar, cafe. And it became like an entire day's activity for us was going there just to go there, really, like that was it. And I guess but yeah, it's interesting you say about the right culture, because I think in the UK, obviously, they've got a Caffeine and Machine, which has opened last year, and they tried really, really hard in that to kind of build that right culture, because I think they were open a few weeks and they were getting people doing full launch controls out the driveway, and it was turning a bit, and they kind of went, if we don't jump on this, we're going to lose our business, like we're going to be shut down. So they've got a really strict, like, don't be a dick policy, and it works. You know,
that's whole, I guess they were really afraid of that whole, like, council culture, like, you know, one or two people do the wrong thing and then the community backfires on you and kind of go nuts. That's one of my favorite things with them, is their little sign out the front that's just like, remind don't you as you're dick. Leaving.
but it seems like Benzin just, from what I've seen, you know, and obviously we'll touch on this in a minute, but you know, you kind of only had a couple of months of sort of good trading before the world sort of stopped. But it seems like I've seen pictures of GT2 RSs and Porsche Club, and obviously your MX-5, and we'll touch on your cars shortly. But, you know, there seems to be a lot of the right kind of crowd there, which
I think the car community does get a bit of a bad rep, but you just kind of tell them, like, I guess you got to show that if they like this place, if they like this kind of community, if they like this safe space, like a safe haven for them to come to, I guess they got to protect it in that way too, you know. Be respectful of others, be mindful of others, don't just do what you would do at home. And so far it's been good for us, we've been lucky. I hope it stays. But ideally, like, what I wanted to create out of Benzin was kind of not so much a place where there's always events, because earlier on, like, we were the space for some car clubs to hold events. And I started getting messages of kind of guys going, oh, can you let me know when the next event is coming? But they think they're the only one. So, like, you know, I have a list of 100 people to, like, keep track of, but you know, the idea isn't to come when there's an event. The idea is that, I guess, if you come to Benzin on a weekend, you most likely will become part of the event, right? Yeah. Like, you come to a place where you know that you're going to meet someone new but like-minded. You know, you'll see something unique, and then you can have a chat with that owner and get to know more about it. I want to create that culture rather than I'll only come if there's an event. It's more kind of like, come here, there will be something interesting, don't worry, kind of. Be the one thing that's interesting.
and even if there's nothing interesting there, come and stare at our wall.
Just don't steal my wheels, man. I can assure everyone that's listening to right now, it's buckled, it's rusted, it's not usable. Don't steal the wheels.
You come in and there's a cinder block hanging on the wall. And you're like, oh,
no. Not again.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's just come for the vibe.
Just, we just get replaced with, like, Commodore cop stock rims.
So Simmons, what wheels? Why don't you give us a bit of a, you know, obviously we've got some photos, your own Instagram page and our Instagram page, you've got some photos, but yeah, describe the space with us. Obviously you've got the wheels, they're not just any wheels, they're some pretty cool sort of Hayashi sort of Japanese style wheels. Yeah, what's What have you got there? What's sort of the atmosphere? What's on display?
So we created the space pretty like monotone with like concrete and wooden features. I wanted to keep it really simple, so whatever we put on the wall kind of pops out to you. On the back wall, we just have kind of automotive, I guess, vintage motorsport inspired posters from Automobilista, Petrol Oda, some from Petrolicious. We have obviously the
don't biggest hate the artists.
I bought it from them. They weren't the artists. we have the obviously the wheel on the wall is kind of like the hero feature, I guess, of the whole space. I think it's because it's kind of unique. We found these amazing hooks on Amazon. I was kind of like surprised that actually existed, and it comes on really easily. So we've changed the wheels from that set that you guys see on the screen right now. We've done a completely different look at the moment with like Advan Rally wheels as well.
Nice.
They're pretty cool. And we have a Audi Le Mans racing suit on our wall.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we usually have a bike in the shop. We've had a Ducati Scrambler from the very moment we opened up, sponsored by Fraser's Ducati. At the moment, they're kind of doing their stock take, so we're just kind of waiting to see what they send us next. But we do have a car in the shop, and that's been on rotation for about and since COVID started, really. At the moment, we got the Audi RS3 hatch in there, but we've had things like the Tirreno, the MX5, 202 BMW. The Mini Cooper was like the one thing that brought everyone along. That was pretty cool. I guess that's kind of the whole shop in general. The my favorite part of the shop really is our mural at the front wall. Done by a mate of mine in Lithgow called Le Grizz. He's done this amazing kind of like graffiti look of a Porsche 911 with this character driving it, but it's kind of gone crazy, you know. Kind of in his element. That part's awesome. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of that whole crazy like the race around the world where they're all crazy and they had to do with a moustache and the bowler cap on.
Everything.
It was he was a German, I think, actually, in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's cold now.
Bug me. But
yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man. So, what's the most... The car that's turned up that sort of surprised you the most, you know, what sort of stuff would you see on a typical sort of Saturday morning, Sunday morning?
We've had so many. Hey, like we had the biggest event that we've ever had was Porsche Club New South Wales, and it was almost like 80 to 100 Porsches. That was ridiculous, and we saw from vintage 912s all the way to kind of, there was a 356, there was like a Targa rally driven like 964, nice. All the way to like GT2 RS, GT3s. And the moment you walk into the shop, you'll know that all of the partners or all of the owners love our Porsches.
Yeah.
We might not be able to afford them, but we love them. that was like heaven for us. The other week we had like this Karmann Ghia slammed to the ground with stock wheels. So the wheels were sunken, it was slammed to the ground. And he had a baby seat in the back. He just had his kid who was just driving around town. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's the kind of vibe I want to see. Not just car guys coming out, it's car guys coming out with their families. Bringing their kids out or bringing their pets out, just having a day out. So we've seen a lot of cool stuff. We had a K group come out, and there's a lot of like K cars that I've never seen before.
Awesome.
What was it? Oz Move group or something had a had this K pickup truck. It was like the tiniest little pickup truck. It was mad. So cool.
You could get like three of them on display inside, you know.
Oh yeah, you honestly like every time I'm working on a weekend or I'm just like taking photos, I can spend like an hour just walking down up and down the driveway and realize what I don't need in my life, but I really want. Like all of a sudden, you're like, I think I need a Ute for work. Yeah, I need.
Yeah,
I need
yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, 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 yeah. And then you have these ideas, then you lose like an hour looking on like car sales.
Yeah, and then you realize that you
I need to.
I got to run a cafe. I can't use that money.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think we found like as you know, Luke and I have definitely found this with Sports Car Safari. It's like, and I assume, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you've probably found this with a cafe, that it's like, you know, we got into this because we love cars and because we love being around cars and we love this culture. But actually the business of running a magazine is actually most of the time it's doesn't matter what you're writing about, it's cars or it's, you know, it's emails, it's accounts, it's, you know, all this sort of stuff. And I assume with a cafe, like, yeah, you love the cars and the car scene, but like, actually,
if your coffee's not on point, if
you're in hospitality. And did you have any, like, did you come from a hospitality background, or is this all just completely jump in and hope for the best?
No, not really. But I guess I came from a hospitality background through family. So my dad's been in cafes for over a decade. So he used to run Muffin Break and Jamaica Blues over in Sydney, a few different shops. So, and I worked through his shops when I was a kid. So I kind of experienced, you know, being a barista and working in a cafe and everything like that. It wasn't voluntary. I had to pay my fine. So I had to support my fine somehow. No, but like, yeah, I guess that was the experience through hospitality. This was definitely mine and all of my partners, I guess, first one that we're running, that we're open from the very beginning. It's a boutique. There's no system. There's no template that we get from headquarters. This is what you got to do. There's no training kind of sheets, you know. It really is like a baby from scratch. But it was amazing. Like, you learn so much through like the building process, the design, the council application, all that kind of stuff. And as you said, yeah, it's a car cafe, but every point of the business has nothing to do with cars at all. And that's what makes our Sundays or our Saturdays so much better when, you know, all of these guys come out and I'm like, I tell my staff, I'm like, oh, can you guys handle 5 minutes? I just got to go out and have a look at this stuff. Like that makes us like so happy, because a lot of that stuff aren't involved in running the cafe. And obviously most of our customers aren't really car people. They're the locals, right? Like that's the masses. So it's a car cafe, but we don't have that every day, like you said. Yeah.
Which is, I think it's a good place to be. So how did you go? Because you opened in January, did you say?
No, we opened in December. Yeah. We had a soft opening in December.
Yeah. So how has that been? Obviously, not a great time to be opening, you know, 4 months into a cafe when everything sort of shuts down kind of like it did. How's it been for you guys? How did you handle the situation? And I guess what's it like now?
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. Like, I wouldn't say it's the best, but it's not the worst either. We had a good start for a new cafe in Dural. You know, it takes so hard. It's really hard to get people to come out to Dural. it was a good start considering like our location. We don't have foot traffic for our cafe. People actually have to make it a destination to get there. But we were getting a good traction. By January, we were thinking like, oh man, you know, 2020 is going to be a good year. This is going to be good. Like, we're starting to get our client base. We're starting to get known by people. And then obviously, you know, by the end of February, we were like, oh, something's coming. And by March, it was restriction and lockdown.
So to give you a quick, for people who are watching who don't know where Dural is in Sydney, you got Sydney down the bottom right here, Main Harbour, all that. And Dural's up here.
Sydney's pretty big, guys. Yeah, Sydney's pretty big. For those like international, like whoever's listening right now, I haven't been to a city like Sydney, apart from maybe LA. You know, an hour and a half away from the main downtown city, it's still considered Sydney.
Yeah.
So we're technically our own city, but you know.
And it's like it's an interesting place. I've driven in a few cities now, and Sydney is definitely the hardest city to drive in. I think harder than Paris, London, anywhere in Europe. Sydney's just a confusing city to be in. Like, you can be in the left lane of the motorway and suddenly you need to get across six lanes to the right to, you know, go over the bridge, not under the bridge or something like that. And I've been caught out in Sydney so many times and have to do a bloody half an hour loop around.
Design's not our forte, man. Let's just wing it and see how we go.
They come to little old Adelaide. It's a grid. It's like, Adelaide is the best. It's like, okay, it's a grid. you've got the hills, so you're always oriented because you can always see the hills from the city. So you're like, well, the hills is kind of, you know, east, and then so the beach must be behind me if I'm looking at the hills, and then, you know, everything's square, and yeah, done.
I'm lost. I'll take three lefts and I'll be back where I am. Like,
yeah, fine. Well,
when last time I was in Adelaide, my friend told me it was peak hour. It lasted 10 minutes.
I don't know.
It does. That's just me getting out of my complex in my house. Like,
30 minutes anywhere in Adelaide is too far.
Yeah.
No, everyone's like, nah, I'm out. Nah, not going to go that far. You're two suburbs away.
Yeah. Across the city? Are you crazy? Anyway.
Actually, they're pretty good. They're not too bad.
Yeah.
Can't complain about it.
I love Adelaide, and look, it's a great place for that, but you can't deny Sydney's a great city. It's a great place. So yeah. So what do you drive? What have you got?
I've got an MX5, a 1990 NA MX5, and then I've got an Audi S5 as my daily. I like to claim my wife's car too, because, you know, my favorite car is like a mini JCW, but I can't buy one because I'm a photographer, videographer by trade. I can never fit all my gear. So I kind of just made her the sacrificial purchaser of the mini in the garage. I had a mini Cooper. I had a mini Cooper, the ugly looking one, the coupe, the one that looked like a baseball hat.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I modified that thing to the max. And when I sold it, I was just so sad. Felt like something was missing. But now it's back. Not mine though, but that's
all right. Yeah, it's close enough. So
yeah. So that's basically the cars in the garage now.
So what have you done to the MX-5? It looks pretty sweet. It's pretty nice looking MX-5.
Yeah, it's a 1990 1.6. I actually bought it kind of modified already. I can't say I've done all the work in the car, but when I was looking for an MX-5, I wanted actually a stock one, a super clean one, in BRG, in the tan interior, like just the classic MX-5, you know.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that one of my good friends actually probably has the cleanest British Racing Green MX-5 you'll ever see in the world. And I can guarantee you that right now, but it's done like retro modded.
Yeah.
So it didn't help that. But he was actually the one that found me this car. And he's like, look, I know you're looking for a stock one, but dude, this one's so interesting. And the guy's...
Is that the green
one? That's it. That's his car. That's his car.
Right.
I'm pretending like that's my car, but...
This wasn't... You didn't just do it randomly in the car park, right? This was staged. This isn't more like one of those things where people see the car on the street, take a photo and pretend it's
theirs. That was staged. I work for Turtle Wax, so I had to do a few kind of influencer shots, if you will, for them every now and then. But yeah.
Bro, those kicks though, man. Like,
oh yeah, good. You're on point. Yeah, for sure, of course, have to. But yeah, he found me this blue one.
I think that was up here before.
And then he basically said, look, it's interesting enough for you to kind of just have a look at it. And the guy it wasn't on the market, but he was willing to sell for the right price. The reason why it was interesting is because it was a supercharged 1.6.
Right.
With all the right kind of JDM rare mods that it had on it already. Some weren't to my taste, they were still good mods. They were just not to my taste. I took off and completely went back to stock and then start from scratch again. But till now, it's still got the 1.6 supercharged. I basically just did a whole kind of refurb of the engine in terms of, because it had like idling problems, I was replacing every part possible. Like, you know, ICV fixed, silicon hoses, all that kind of stuff, all done, fuel pump done, fuel filter done, like even to the suspension, refresh the coilovers and all that kind of stuff. Did new wheels. I didn't like the bumper it had on, so I went back to the stock bumper. I reupholstered the interior to quilted leather in brown and black combination. Had some custom gauges done by a guy over at the States for the cluster and everything. So it just made it more me. And recently, because I started this cafe, the guy that comes to the cafe every morning just happens to be Mark Bevan, who runs Haltech. I got talking to him about the car, and I was telling him like my problems with like idling issues and like, you know, all his engine problems. And he's basically
Platinum Elite, done.
Basically, he just went like, oh, just get the ECU and you'll be good. Well, yeah, a few $1,000 later.
Yeah.
So you're on a payment plan. You've signed up to free coffees for the next 15 years, every morning for 15 years, and you'll pay for your ECU one coffee at a time. That's a good deal. Your cash, you could get that with a whole range of people. Your cash flow will be nothing, but you'll be, you know, rolling like, I don't know. You'll be doing track days, you'll be doing rallies, you'll be having the best wheels, tires. Yeah.
So recently it's just been tuned, and now it's running perfectly. So we've been doing like drives every weekend with the guys at the cafe, and it's been driving like a dream.
That interior is like, man, I'll just bring up a picture. Sorry, I'm just scrolling through grams and stuff. Like,
nice. Yeah, I love that brown.
The brown's cool.
That brown is.
I didn't want like the MX-5, the Mazda 10 color, because everyone had that. Ugh. And it didn't really match with the blue that I had. So I contacted the guy this is actually done by Nakamae in Japan. I contacted, I guess, the English translator for this guy. And I said like, hey, do you guys mind sending me some samples of like, you know, leather materials you guys can get? Because I want something different. And they were amazing. They sent me like 30 leather samples for me to choose from. And wow. He made that one like, I guess, from scratch, like handmade, with a different color. I was surprised.
He hand dyed that one, yeah?
No, he sent me like these materials that he can get access to, and then he hand stitched them. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. Beautiful. That's very cool.
Thanks, guys.
What's a supercharged NA like? I mean, I used to have an NA back in the day as well, but mine was stock and very high mileage and very beat. But yeah, yours is the exact opposite of mine. But what's it like? I mean, it's must be pretty quick.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, because it's not like a turbo where you put your foot down and then all hell breaks loose on a 900 kilogram car. It's still pretty linear, but it used to be, the way I compare it, like before the tune, it was kind of like, it's just like a stock MX-5 with a better high-end power, right? Like the power just kept going instead of kind of just dying out. After this retune and just recalibration through like the ECU module with the guy down in Seven Hills, it just felt so much better. Like the torque comes in at like 2.5 already, nice. And then it'll keep steadily going up. Like a supercharger, you know, you'll get more power, but consistently going up. I think the last dyno, I hate dyno figures, but the last dyno figures, it was like 300 newton meters of torque at like 6,000 RPM on a 900 kilogram car. Yeah, it scares me, man. I'm not the best driver in the world for sure. Nowhere near there. But I'm also like used to modern cars with like traction control, and they can't do all the work for me. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like no power steering, no traction control, and like 900 kilograms, no airbags.
Don't end up like that poor guy with the F40 backwards down a ditch in the jungle roller coast the other day.
Speaking of, did Jordy buy that? Who bought that?
Jordan Roddy, Bespoke Motor Cars. We had him last week. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with that wreck and he rebuilds it. I'm speculating.
That's mad. It'll be a steal.
The sort of thing he'd do. I reckon it's,
And have, it done in 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. You know that meme? This we should make a meme. It'd be for Jordy. But you know that meme of the guy with the crashed MX-5 and they're like, oh, hope you're okay. How much for the wheels? Like, that's probably Jordy, like looking at the pictures of that F40 going like, oh, sorry, man, that sucks. How much for the wreck?
But to be honest, if you were there, you would ask that question too. Like, you'd ask
one.
Him.
You're just missing one switch. It's like, how much for that light switch?
you'd ask him. If you saw an F40 crash, you'd be like, how much do you want for the wreck?
Yeah.
The difference, but the difference is that if we asked, it would be speculation about just, oh, well. But if Jordy asks, he can fix it. Like, he wants to know.
I want to know. Be cool. Anyway. Be awesome. What can we stick an F40 engine in?
You'd fix it. I mean, it's all just, I mean, to be honest,
I'm getting used to my MX-5. Maybe you should put in my MX-5. Needs more power now.
I mean, it didn't look too bad to me. I mean, I'm sure tub's fine. I think it's all just panels and it's all, you know, Kevlar. And I, of course, it's not going to be easy, but those panels do exist. The molds exist. People can make pretty much anything these days. Like, I think it's, you could.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
I mean, they're rebuilding that one that caught on fire in Monaco the other month.
Yeah, that was almost nothing. That.
Mm. Yeah, but it's singed to nothing and that's being rebuilt. So, yeah.
Who got that job?
You know what? Funny story. It's actually been done by, I haven't fact-checked this at all, so just off the top of my head. But I have been there. There is a Ferrari workshop in Monaco that do some incredible restorations. And when I was there in 2013 on my Vespa trip, I remember actually seeing this workshop and you kind of don't know it because Monaco is so small and so packed. And I was walking down this street and there's a Ferrari showroom and you're like, okay, cool. Yeah, you know, new Ferrari showroom, whatever. And then you kind of go down the alley and I remember sticking my head into their workshop and it was a tiny, tiny workshop and the cars are, you know, lined up right alongside each other, but they had a 250 California Spider, they had an Enzo, they had an F50, they had all of this crazy stuff and they were partway through a full restoration on some sort of 275 something. So they do serious stuff. Mm. And I think the pictures of it being rebuilt, I recognize the workshop. It was in that place. So I think it's, I mean, it was on Monaco plates, that car. So I guess it kind of, makes sense. But
yeah.
What a, Oh, crazy. Don't crash your MX-5. So then you touched on a little bit earlier. So your background is as a photographer and videographer, and you mentioned you've been working with Turtle Wax on some projects. So what's your background? What do you work on mostly? What do you do?
So my main job is a wedding videographer. I run a company. I run a brand with a friend of mine who is the photographer. So I'm on the video side of things.
Yeah.
And that's probably been going on for almost 10 years. So that's been my main job for the longest time ever. I guess that's where I get my video and film kind of side from. Recently opened up a new brand or kind of started a new brand for the commercial and corporate side of the world away from weddings, dealing with kind of more retailers, dealerships, restaurants, real estate, anything like that. By another friend of mine, Fadi, the brand's called Monday Made. So those are my two main jobs. That would take up my week most of the time. So most people don't know that the cafe is actually kind of like the side job, I guess, like the little baby project. But yes, because of COVID and all that kind of stuff, it's become the main job. And on top of all that, we actually started the cafe the same kind of week as my daughter was born. So there's a lot of jobs in there somehow.
You're not like trying to build a house at the same time as well or something like that, are you?
No. Crazy. Trying to buy a house, but you know, that's more like a dream than a project in Sydney at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like I lived in Sydney back in 2007 and the house prices like in Castle Hill at that time I thought were pretty crazy back then, but they've just gone berserk.
It's mental. Yeah. But yeah, that's where the photo and video kind of side come from. Turtle Wax, we got into contact because I did a few videos for a couple of people in Sydney who's then moved to California. And then they worked with Turtle Wax over on that side. And Turtle Wax was asking them, like, you know, they were doing like a worldwide series at the time, like how they wanted to go through different continents of the world to check out like different car communities. Cool. And they needed the Australia side of it. And they were asking those guys, like, oh, who should we contact? And that's how I kind of got into kind of relationship with them. They liked the work. And then I guess they kind of just asked me if I wanted to be part of the Shine Squad program, which is kind of content creators and influencers around the world creating content for Turtle Wax's usage.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. The Shine Squad. I need to check this out. I need to follow. Where can we follow?
My friends always make fun of me for this one. I am part of the Shine Squad. None of my cars are shiny by any means. These cars, you know, I don't wash them. My car only gets washed when it gets serviced.
Do you get like a special ringer or a card or something? So when you like Shine Squad, I just picture it. Like,
that would be mad, you know. Yeah. I think I might email them for that. I want to be part of this Green Lantern squad that you're talking about. But, you know. I guess they just kind of send us whatever's the latest product they have that they want to test out.
Mm. Yep.
We test it out, but we have the freedom on which products we want to showcase. So if it's a product that we don't like, we don't showcase that product. So I guess it's still paid, but it's not kind of like, you know, tell people it's really good.
Which you feel obligated with if you were getting tons of money to do it. You feel obligated to be like, you know, tooting the horn. Because like I've done quite a bit of detailing work over the years, and Turtle X is not a brand that's on my radar at all whatsoever.
No, I guess like, not. Yeah.
I don't know. What's their stuff? Is their stuff any good nowadays? So, like, I have no idea.
They released this new thing called like hybrid solutions. To be honest, like before all of this new stuff came out, I was just using like their detailer. Their headlight restorer was really good. Just all these like odd stuff. It's not so much kind of like their polish and wax was something that I would say was really good.
Dude, the only thing I remember about Turtle X is like my dad's old, like in the shed in an old box that came from my great grandparents. There was an old bottle of turtle wax in there. I was like,
I had an old one and it was like a polish and it was it still it's had like, its like target price tag from like 1986 on it, and it was dry and crusty and it's like a relic. That is literally my memory.
That's my memory of turtle wax.
Yeah. Everyone's grandpa used to buy it. But hey,
I mean, but that's the thing.
Brands like, change, products change. Like it's
So they are revamping. They have this thing called hybrid solutions that I actually just before got onto this, I was spending a whole day with my friends, Integra, just kind of like doing a whole detail on it using all of their products. It's the whole like ceramic range. So they got like from polish to ceramic wax to car wash using kind of ceramic qualities and ceramic kind of chemicals inside the actual solutions. It's pretty good. I guess it's more kind of like you got to try it to see if it's you. I wouldn't say it lasts that long, but then again, it's off the shelf and it's spray on, wipe off. If it's like that, you know, every 3 months is not really that much of a hassle. But so far I've given it to a few friends of mine and they really liked it. Obviously some don't, they like to go back to their brands that they're kind of known for, but I mean it's everyone's kind of perspective and opinions, I guess.
Because I'm about to embark on that, and Luke and other people, I need to learn, because I've never really been one to care too much. Like I wash my car, but I'm not like an obsessive, you know. We know people that
I cry every time I watch Andrew wash a car. I'm like, no, don't do it that way.
I'd like driving cars. Like I just looks clean, but actually, with the box,
we need to get Kat Sikidis in the Shine Squad.
Mate, we do. Actually, we know the guy. For your shines. He is the Shine Squad. Yeah.
I'm kind of with you with the whole like washing cars thing. Like with my daily, I actually just take it to a professional detailer just to get it ceramic coated. Just so I don't have to wash my car. He keeps up tabs with me. He's like, is your car clean? Have you washed it? I'm like, that's why I pay you for. I don't want the coating so I don't have to wash it like ever. Yeah. And then when I sell it, and then I wash it goes brand new.
But it's like, I like washing the car. It's the same with the Boxster. Like, I enjoy the process, but I'm not like really, really into all of this detailing. But I was sort of saying I need to learn because, you know, the Boxster is unfortunate at the moment, just a factor of living in the UK. It's going to live outside because, you know, no one has a garage really here unless you've, you know, you're exceptionally lucky. And yeah,
you've got a gravel driveway though. Isn't that the thing? No, it's if you've got white gravel.
We do have a Cotswold gravel driveway, which is
that's up there.
It's up there. You laugh. It actually is.
I know. Like, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. If it's not pavers or concrete, you know, you haven't made it. But it's the other way around up there.
It's gravel. And to be honest, where like we've been living up until now, like the fact that we actually have somewhere to securely park a car off the street is itself a massive benefit. You know, that's not something we've had for a while. But I So, yeah, anyway, where I was sort of going with that is that I need to, you know, with the Boxster, I do want to try and keep it as nice as I can. So I do need to sort of investigate and learn about all the ceramic coating and the waxes and the polishes. And, you know, I want to maintain it and keep it nice because it lives outside. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing you can do with that stuff, you don't have to go buy the most crazy expensive products or anything like that. But just, like, having, like, getting a good base or getting it washed, like, good scrub. And then doing like these newer spray, even spray on, but even tub based wax coatings, ceramic, you know, whatever the flavor is at the time. And you just maintain that. So you just, like every 6 months, every 3 months, something like that, just reapply it and then it will just keep it good. If you don't have to go nuts just to keep your car half okay.
Nah.
You have to get Katsukitas. So like our mate Katsukitas, who's got a few alphas and stuff, like, he came to Cars and Coffee and it was a bit wet, so like drove the car, Cars and Coffee. By the time I'd gotten home from Cars and Coffee and had something to eat and then sat down, I'd looked and he'd already gotten his wheels off, washed the car and put it away. Like wheels off, clean, packed it away.
People in Adelaide would probably be familiar with his car. It's an Alfa Romeo. It's a 33/16 valve red one, and he has an Alfa Sud as well, a silver Sud, which is his kind of track car. And the idea was like he built the Sud because he didn't want to, you know, damage the 33 on the track, and you know, wanted to keep it clean. And then the Sud ended up being just as clean as the 33, but to be fair to his credit, he does drive the cars and he does drive them in the rain and he does do track days, so it's not that he doesn't do it, but yeah, like I remember we used to do track days out at Malala, and like, you know, you get home from a track day and you just spent, like, I'd just drive home and you know, park the car and just sort of slump and be like, oh, you know, Sunday night. He literally would drive the car from the track into the garage, up on jack stands, wheels off, and he will have washed the car, cleaned the underside of the car down, cleaned the wheels, like the underside of the car.
All the track rubber gone.
Brake
dust, everything.
That night.
That's mental.
Yeah.
That's just mental.
He needs to be on the Shine Squad.
Yeah. He needs to be. He needs to be the leader.
Yeah,
he needs to work at Turtle Wax headquarters.
I can imagine him doing that though, and just being like, everything is like, no, do it again.
I mean, the funniest videos would be like Gordon Ramsay, like one of the chef videos, where just yelling at people trying to help him and get away, I'll do it, you know.
Right, get out. Yeah, it'd be
pretty funny. Yeah, no, good.
I love Cats. He's great. He's good value. He is the best. Yeah. Right. So, I guess what's the plans for Cafe going forward? Just more of the same. Keep things open.
I guess we're gonna write out what happens from now on in terms of, is it gonna be another lockdown or we just gotta write out 2020 like everyone else. We're not doing any kind of specific events ourselves, just purely because not worth the risk of a big crowd coming by all at one go. But we do want to kind of expand on that culture, expand on the whole concept of being a car cafe vibe or being a safe haven for guys to come through and meet other people. We want to expand that and make it more known to the rest of Sydney, and hopefully make it known to Melbourne and kind of Queensland, you know, when they've opened up the borders and come out of their little hole. Recently we just kind of like expanded our merchandise. So just kind of like hoodies like this and hats and shirts kind of, and just build that brand a bit more to more of a household name for the car community in Sydney. That's what we want to do. And we'll see if we kind of get there. But at the same time, you know, you just got to be aware of the current situations. We don't want to go back to like lockdown mode. We had a template though, so we might be okay. We'll just go back and kind of be positive about it. But yeah.
So something to, I don't know if this would work for you guys, but I did this. So I mentioned earlier Quest Brothers Classic Cars, who are going to help me with the Boxster tomorrow. I do some sort of marketing work for them, and we did an event a few weeks ago, and we're doing it again in a fortnight. We did a drive through Cars and Coffee. So we actually got a coffee van to come in, and these guys, they're really cool rural coffee project here in Cambridge, and they've got a Land Rover Defender that they've converted into a sort of a mobile coffee van. We set it up as a drive-through. So we're kind of thinking that people can, you know, it's not an event that people are going to come to and congregate at. It's, you know, people can stop if they want to and watch, or they can just kind of drive through and have a look at and take off and knock it out of their car. And it actually worked really, really well. We had it set up and people had a line of 4 or 5 cars most of the morning, and they kind of all served through and got served from in their car, and the coffees passed through. We had some great cars turn up, and it was actually, yeah, I don't know, something like that. That could work.
That's cool.
An established cafe, you know, an event without an event, if that makes sense.
Like, I don't know. What we thought, like, when this whole COVID thing, the lockdown all happened, the first thing that we did was like, all right, we've got to think positive. We've got to think of funny shit to post up. Just be like a positive energy in the community rather than all this negative buzz going around. I don't know, like in Europe, you guys, like in Croatia, you guys have this thing called Yacht Week. And I was, you know, Yacht Week is like in a whole week, everyone like rents a yacht and then they They reverse all their yachts in a circle and they're partying in that little pool, right? Yacht Week with cars, like, you know, just bring all the cars, reverse it all, and you guys just have a party, but it's social distancing. Everyone's in their boot.
Everyone's
inside. but I don't know, like, you got to keep creative. Like, the way we kind of got out of the whole lockdown thing, really, with the cafe, is just being creative and being positive. That's all it was. We got more customers because we were the positive bunch. In a way, everyone, I think, like a lot of the hospitality industry were kind of, I guess, stating things they can't do. But we already know that, and we don't need that in our social media feed and all that kind of stuff. And like, we were doing funny shit. Like, we did a video of how easy it was to take away, because it was like there was this kind of beat the queue app called Skip. And we were on that. So it was like, oh, you can, you know, order the skip. And it was so fast that you can pick it up straight away. So we did a funny video of my manager, Yif, actually got on his bike. And it was kind of like, we made the coffee, the order came through, and then he drove the bike straight into the shop, take the coffee and rode out, kind of thing. Like, little things like that, like, made it a bit better. We had time to do all that kind of stuff. So it was fine. We went through it. Hopefully it doesn't go back, but... I think it's strong enough at the moment to kind of last through anything, hopefully. Anyway.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, it's definitely cool. Like having a destination like that is a cool thing to have. And then even having like the good access to driving roads not far away from Dural as well, if people are going on a run up to you.
Yeah, like Wiseman's, Cat Eye Road, Allpack.
I remember someone saying to me, like,
Bellsline. Even Bellsline, like, you go through Wiseman's and then you go through Bellsline straight away.
Beautiful area up there. Absolutely beautiful. I'm kind of bummed I can't. It's just such a crazy time of the world right now, because, you know, it's always been, and, you know, as I was saying, like, I'd love to come and visit the cafe in Sydney, but it's like, I couldn't even get to Sydney now. And it's like, so over here, it's like the flights, you know, that they've restricted them down. And so the word on the street is you pretty much have to book business to actually get on a flight to get home. So for two people, you're looking at, you know, and flights are expensive. They're like twice what they normally are one way. And it's like, okay, so we're a couple of grand in business flights one way. And it's like, then now you've got the quarantine, which is, you know, $3,000 ahead or something like that. So we're literally pushing to even come and have a coffee in Sydney now, we'd be pushing about $10,000 to do it. And 2 weeks.
Don't do it. It'll be the biggest pressure for us to make the world's best coffee just for you.
Maybe you could give him that liter coffee. That'd be worth it, right? How did that turn out? That looked terrible.
It was horrible.
Explain the story. Andrew doesn't know it.
Honestly, like, I think for like 2 weeks, every time I come in, he keeps going, "Hey man, are we gonna do that 1 liter coffee or what? We'll call it a liter latte. We're gonna be famous." He keeps going like, "We're gonna be e-fame, you know, like, we're gonna get viral. Everyone's gonna come for a liter latte." I'm like, who the hell's gonna drink a liter of coffee in one go? First of all, he wanted anyway, and then he was like, "Oh, let's just do it today." And we ended up trying to do it, and in my head, it went better than it actually did.
What was the ingredients? Like, run through how you shots, made it. How many shots? And...
Well, thing, like, we were like, instead of doing it in a big ass cup or a jug, I was thinking like, let's do it in a like an alternative milk box, right? It'll be colorful.
It was like a soy milk box or something, wasn't it?
It was an almond milk box. And we cut it off. I think it was like 10 shots or 10 or 12 shots of coffee in there. We try to get it to like the same amount of level ratio in terms of like how much coffee there was in a cup. And we used our biggest jug and we actually heat up two jugs and it still wasn't enough to get to the top. And we were aiming for latte art, but that's just not possible. Multiple times, we didn't want to give up. There was a lot of wastage, so sorry for people that don't like wastage. But I made him drink it at the end.
The leader.
Just to reserve that one.
What does 10 shots of coffee do to the heart in one
I don't know. have one of those big monster energies. They're probably the same thing, aren't they?
I don't know, yeah. But the shop was closed very well that night. Everything was clean. You know, there was no spots until...
Oh man, that sounds awful.
I'm sure Daniel will give you a free 1 liter coffee, Andrew, if you manage to make it across to Sydney.
Oh yeah, that's
a deal. That is a deal. Let's do that.
take your pick off the alternative milk box. I think soon it'll be soon. Yeah. Everything will open up again, but yeah. Yeah, it sucks too because I used to travel like at least 2 to 3 times a year, and this is weird for me.
Yeah,
like not being able to go anywhere is just weird.
I think we were talking about this last night. I had a few drinks last night. And we're sort of talking, and we're like, it's kind of like we were like the toddlers. It's like you know, like a kid, and you've got a new baby, as you mentioned. So you're about to learn all about this, and Luke knows this, and I have no idea about this. But just like a toddler, it's like
you hear the like result of that when we're on the phone.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, sorry, I need to go now. but you know, it's like they don't want something until they can't have it, and then it's the only thing they want. It's you know, so you know, and we were sort of saying we feel a bit like all the time we've been over here, we came back to Australia once or twice a year, and that was fine. And it's like. But now that we can't come back, we're starting to feel a lot more homesick than we ever felt when we could just go back anytime. And it's almost a case of like, you know, once you can't do it, now we want to do it even more than we did when we could do it. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I think with travel, I think a lot of people are like, well, like, yeah, like I wasn't going to travel, but now that I can't travel, I might have, you know, and
it's the same, like running the cafe. We found out that coffee was so essential to people that they took advantage of, I guess, like they took advantage of the fact that it was so easy to get. And all of a sudden when, you know, they're not going to work anymore, they're not going to the city, and everything's just takeaway only and all that kind of stuff, it was harder for them to get coffee. So the first weekend of like restrictions easing was just ridiculous. Everyone just flocked out. They were like, they completely forgot we were still in the middle of a pandemic kind of thing. They were just like, whatever, coffee. But yeah, I get you. That's the same thing with me and Porsches. You know, like I've always wanted a Porsche, but not until I have a cafe where there's always a Porsche rocking up in front of my eyes every damn day that I really, really, really want to.
It's funny you said that about the coffee, because that was the one thing that I couldn't live without, is that when it locked down in the UK, I think it did lock down a lot more severe than it did in Australia, and literally everything here in Cambridge shut, like everything. And down in London, there was still a small handful of coffee shops open. Like there was, you had to really seek them out, but in Cambridge there was nothing. And I hadn't had a proper coffee for like 6 weeks. And I was like, once the coffee shops opened up for takeaway and everything else was closed, I was like, I can deal with this. I can work with this. This is fine. You know, I can still ride my bike down, get a coffee or something, like that's okay. But it was when there was no coffee. But as you said, it happened here. The first couple of good coffee shops opened up again, and they had to really manage it carefully because they were seriously popular. Like everyone was just descending on them.
And it's unpredictable. Like you didn't predict that at all. So you just get swamped and kind of just hold on for dear life and hopefully kind of adjust it the next week. But you know, it was a crazy weekend, but
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, do we have anything else to discuss while we're here and chatting and caffeinated?
No, I'm
good. I'm caffeinated.
I finished coffee.
It's 9:30 for me here. I don't think I'm caffeinated at all.
So, yeah, well, that's good. I guess if people are watching live, keep an eye on our feeds. I'm about to drive out to Bicester Heritage, where the Bonhams MPH auction viewing is on. So I've got some other work to do out there, but I'm probably going to do a bit of a live walk around of what's there and what's coming under the gavel tomorrow. There's some cords and some beautiful old sort of pre-war Rolls Royces and a lot of great vintage stuff and plus some modern stuff. So yeah, keep an eye on the SCS Instagram feed in the next 24 hours. We'll do a bit of a live walk around of the Bonhams plots, just as something to, you know, no events to go to, so we might we get where we can.
Yeah, what have they got?
There's a cord. There's a 1936 cord, which I just think is the most incredible car I've ever seen. It's 1930s, but it looks 50s. Front wheel drive V8 manual. It's got these headlights that are sort of fed into the guards that flip around. Yeah. It's properly rock star. Like it's very cool.
I don't even. Can I be ashamed and say I don't even know what that is?
No, I don't. I didn't know what he was talking about either.
Oh
man, I'll bring up the lots. An American thing, is it?
But V8 front wheel drive sounds a bit
V8 front wheel drive. Yeah.
Man, I'll bring out the catalog and we'll just have a quick look. Oh, hang on, was that a Williams car again? Oh, no. Nope. Got excited. Sorry.
Yeah.
Slow internet load. Come on, Bonham's website.
Come on. You can do it.
There's wall wheels here. There's wheels for walls.
Oh, there you go. maybe you can come down to Sydney and deliver me some. Increase on that collection.
Can you imagine? I know the postage for $1, Andrew. Can you imagine, like, wheels?
Actually, if you guys need anything, I think we're quickly assembling a shipping container to come home eventually. So yeah. It might take a year or two, but
oh, that's a cool transporter.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff there. That's a Porsche tractor.
Yeah,
Porsche tractor.
There. Actually, there's an incredible Rolls Royce. It's a Rolls Royce Phantom. It's long. It's properly long.
Oh, there's a G. There's a G. There's a G-Wagon 86. Oh, that's a beautiful. That is like Lee Keen envy right there.
18,000 to 22,000 pounds. They're very cool, those G wagons. They drive so well. They are just light years ahead of an equivalent Land Rover. So
yeah, cool. They are pretty cool.
They don't drive very well now. I mean, like the last G wagon, like the redesign or whatever.
Yeah,
they were pretty horrible for a Mercedes, man.
But
for a G wagon.
No, I meant not that. I meant like for you know the new ones that they try to make it look old.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I drove one. Dude. I'm like, wow, this is not a Mercedes at all.
Like, it was yeah. I must have missed it. Oh, there's a
just search. Do a search. Unless it's not coming up. I'm pretty sure it is. Unless... Yeah.
What is it? Is it a brand of the car or is it a model?
C O R D.
Oh no, there it is. Oh yeah, right. Oh,
supercharged.
Wow. You got a
supercharged V8. Yeah.
This is like what full like 30s gangster car.
Wow.
See, yeah. I see.
1930s. Sorry. I see.
That's sleek. That's pretty sleek.
I just feel like if I had the money for like I wouldn't do a new Bentley Mulsanne or a new sort of super luxury. I'd buy that and have it, you know, have some good air conditioning fitted into it and just belt around it. It's the coolest thing.
Dude, how cool are the exhausts like coming out the side?
Like, no one is going to touch you in that car. You could drive that anywhere you liked and no one will be cooler than you.
Until you get out of the car, perhaps. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man. Bonhams website must be getting hammered right
now.
That's
cool.
You get the
picture. I get the idea. You have to have a Thompson. Like, you'd have to have a Thompson, like, sitting there ready to go, right?
Yeah. So I guess for people listening to audio only.
And a pencil moustache. Pencil
moustache.
That is cool.
Yeah, I think that's
Look at the exhaust. That exhaust coming out is, like, amazing.
That's just
incredible. Are the headlights in the fenders on that too?
Yeah. And they flip around. They're like this is 1937. This is incredibly advanced for the 30s. Like, this is, pre-war. Like,
all the extra mileage on there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Actually, I had a look at I had a look at this car when I was up there the other day, and it's still got its original fuel ration sticker on the windscreen. I don't know if they've got a photo of it, but it's
really?
It's got it. Yeah. It's. I'll do a live. Anyone on the audio, keep an eye on. We'll do a live and we'll do a walk around of this car because it's just
cool.
The coolest thing in the world. Yeah,
that's so cool. Oh, here we go. Supercharged front wheel drive. That's crazy. Cord 810 and 812 sibling. There you go. Nuts. There you go. So, learned something new today. How good is that?
So that's what we will we'll be doing.
I do get jealous every time you go to Bista and walk around and see old race cars and Porsches and
we're pretty lucky. I do remind a lot of the people, you know, the friends that sort of work at Bista now, and I'm sort of just I tap them on the back and say, like, this is not normal. Like, what your life, where you guys work,
right,
this is not normal. No, like, yeah. No. And they're sort of, you know, we're chatting with some of the bottoms guys over a beer the other night, and they were sort of saying the same thing. They're like, yeah, like, you do get used to it. And, you know, we were sitting there talking, and Aston Martin DB2 Mark III just casually drives past and out onto the road, and we're like, yeah, that doesn't happen most places. So yeah, very, very lucky. So yeah, except you guys have nice weather. So, you know, when it's winter and getting dark at 4 o'clock and sleeting and we haven't seen the sun in 6 months, then, you know, that's the trade-off, I guess. So
there you go.
I'd take the car yard. I'd take the car yard.
Yeah. Ashley Smith said, buy me that Austin A40 Farina way there, Colsey.
sure, mate.
Coolio.
Anyway, thank you, Daniel. Cool. It's been real. So,
thanks for having me.
Daniel, where can people go to find you? Follows, grams, Facebooks?
All of our social is Benzin SYD, Benzin BENZIN. And you can go to our website as well. Just Google us. We've got our own online store in there as well. Buy all the merch, buy any coffees, anything like that. Yeah.
Cool. And awesome. you guys, the cafe's open?
Monday to Sunday. Yeah, 7 days a week. We're open 7 to 4, except for Sundays. We open 8 to 4. Most public holidays, we're open as well anyway, unless we post something online saying that we close on that day. We usually open every day. And kitchen closes at 3 if you guys are down for a feed.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, at some point in the future, I hope to be able to come and visit you in person.
Yeah, for sure, guys. For sure, anytime. But thanks for having me, guys. But yeah, it's great having the magazine at the shop, and I was just there today actually, and we're flat out. We only got one left, and I'm saving that one. Like, no one's taking that one. That one's for reading material, so please, no one try to sneak it out of there.
That's right. I'll send you some more up this week. I'll shoot awesome. Some more up there for you, because I have seen, like, through social media, a few people have made comment that, like, hey, I want to go up to Benzin and grab a magazine. So if you're that's out, cool. I'll get some more to you.
We'll get some more.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Daniel.